Things Jesus never said. He said a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of people saying a lot of stuff that he said, and sometimes people make it what they want and not actually what he said. And so we've been talking about that in this series, and so today we're going to talk about another thing Jesus never said. And Jesus never said, you won't have bad days. You won't have bad days. And as you can imagine, I was very excited to have this topic to discuss today, as I can imagine that you are to hear this topic this morning. But has anybody ever had a bad day in this room? Okay, we've all had bad days. I looked up some bad days that people have tweeted. They just tweeted about their bad days, so I want to read some tweets. Is that okay this morning? So this person says, I just walked into my room holding the remote and a glass of chocolate milk. And I meant to toss the remote into my bed, but instead I tossed the whole glass of chocolate milk. That's a bad day right there. Toss a whole glass of chocolate milk into your bed. Let's see. Let's do one more. This one says, I pranked my girlfriend. I said, I saw you kissing another guy. She apologized. Oh, not good. Bad day for that guy. Am I right? Not great. Let's do one more. We'll do one more. I surprised my girlfriend at work this morning. I came up behind her and kissed her on the neck. She laughed and said, Mike, stop. You know we're at work. My name is Brandon. All right. So those people did not have very good days. But everyone knows what it's like not to have a good day, right? And the truth is, this morning, there are people in this room who have had really bad days lately. Really bad days. Big struggles. I'm thinking about a mom we know that goes to this church has received some bad news about just having cancer in her body. I'm thinking about friends and family over the past years who have lost loved ones, parents. I'm thinking about the pastors at Mountain Gateway who are locked up in prison, separated from their families for the gospel. I'm thinking about dreams and goals that hang in the balance that are unfulfilled that we all kind of are wrestling towards. We're looking at God wondering, is this going to work out? Am I going to be okay? And so every person in this room knows what it's like to have a really, really bad day. And you don't have to have a theology degree to look around at the world and know, man, things are not right. Things are not correct. This world is broken. You don't have to look any further than your own life, your own afternoon, after you leave church this morning to know I'm messed up. And so the Bible summed up is a story of a whole bunch of people who had a whole bunch of bad days and their interaction with a good God. And I really think that that's in the Bible. Every story you look at, that person is not having a good day, right? And a good God interacts with us. He sees us. And at first glance, it seems the idea that you won't have bad days is obviously too good to be true, right? No one really believes that. We all raised our hand and said, yeah, I know what having a bad day is like. But if we're honest with ourselves, many times when we have a bad day, or when we get that diagnosis, or when something dies, or when our dream dies, or our expectations are unfulfilled, many times we treat our relationship with God as if he promised to make sure our life is smooth sailing. Right? We can all intellectually understand, yeah, of course I'm going to have bad days. But when it really comes down to your heart and your attitude towards the Lord, I think, and it doesn't really matter how many times or how far along you are in your journey with the Lord, it's like, wait, what is going on? Right? You have that battle with yourself and with the Lord. And so, and you're left asking, is God really there? Is he going to do what he says he's going to do? Am I going to be okay? And so this idea is just not true, right? You won't have any bad days. Jesus never said that, and I think we all get that. But what does that mean for our heart? What does that mean for our life? John 16:33 says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." And so pain is a promise. Struggle is certain. And suffering is inevitable. See, you see why I'm so excited to talk this morning? It's like, what happened to Zach, dude? This guy's usually a happy, fun guy. I was coming to church to be entertained, and he's just talking to me about suffering. Here's a quote for you. That's kind of fun. It always makes it into my sermons. Have you seen the movie The Princess Bride? There's a great theologian in there. His name is the Dread Pirate Roberts. And he says, "Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who tells you differently is selling something." Right? And so you're like, okay, great, Zach, life sucks. We get it. I knew that coming in here. That's really why I came to church today, because my life sucks. And so the question is, what do we do about it, right? I hate pain. I don't like it. I don't like bad feelings. I don't really like exploring my feelings. I'm not really a feeling person. Me and my wife, neither of us are really feelings people. So there's not a lot of emotion going on in our house. There's one emotion, and it's anger a lot of times. It doesn't matter what if it's a good emotion, bad emotion. It's just expressed through anger or intensity. But my daughter, she's 4 or 5, and she's exploring her feelings, right? And they're big, and kids don't know how to deal with it. And so don't judge me, okay? Don't judge my parenting. But a lot of times we find ourselves telling our kids, "Stop whining. I can't handle the incessant whining." And so the other day she was, well, I have a funny story. This is just a funny story. Yesterday she brings her purse wherever she goes. She has like 20 purses. And yesterday I guess she decided to get in the fridge and put like 4 cheese sticks in there. Actually, I don't know if it was yesterday or if they've been in there for a long time. I don't really know. But she, wherever we were, and she pulls them out, and she's like, "Dad, is this enough cheese to feed the whole family?" And I just think that's a funny. First of all, cheese is not an adequate meal to feed a whole family of anything. And second of all, it's like 3 cheese sticks, so no. But she thinks every day should be fun. She's going through the season, every day we should do something fun. Or every day she should get a toy. And maybe I've been bribing her too much, because every time we go to like do, because she comes with us to work, and she's like, "Are we going to get a toy now? Are we going to do something fun now?" I'm like, "No, every day's not about fun. Number one, I don't have enough money, and I don't have enough time." And so she got really upset yesterday, and we were just like, "Stop, just, you need to calm down, take a breath, it's fine." And she's like, "I just need to cry by myself for a little bit." And she's 4, and they're like, "All right, go to her room." So she's like, "Ah," and runs up to her room. We're like, "Oh my gosh, God is punishing us for having no feelings." So I don't know. Yeah, pray for me. So I don't like bad feelings. I don't like the emotions. Nick from New Girl says, which I don't watch that show. I don't recommend you watch that show. But if you've watched Friends in this room, it's the same show. So don't email me. He says, if feelings were meant to be talked about, they'd be called talkings. Right? And so that's not good advice, but I always think about it when I think about myself. I think it's because we don't like pain. We want to avoid pain. And if you're a David Goggins fan, you think that he says the opposite. He's like, "Pain is the best. Pain is growth. Pain is awesome." But the reality is pain hurts. It stinks. It sucks. And so sometimes it's easier to avoid pain. And in our culture, it's easier to medicate pain. It's easier to numb pain. And so I want to ask you this morning to maybe open your heart to maybe the pain or the bad days you've been having. Don't allow just today to pass by. We spent a little bit of time in worship this morning because It's one of the primary functions of church is to come together and worship God and to sit at his feet because he's the only way. He's the only thing that will get us through the pain. Nothing else can do it unless you meet with him, unless we meet with him. And so we spent a little bit of time in worship, and so hopefully we can get back there by the end, but we're going to open the scriptures together. And so I'm going to pray, and I just want to ask you to open your heart. Maybe allow yourself to feel. If you're like me, you're like, feelings, no. Maybe just open yourself up to the Holy Spirit this morning. God, we come to you, and there's a lot of people in here who've had some really bad days. There's some death and some diagnosis and some dreams and some hurts and some bitterness and some abuse in this room, God. And we know that you're a good God, and we choose to trust you. And we don't understand, we don't have all the answers, but we know that you're the one who does. And so we put our hope in you, we put our trust in you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to read a passage today. Generally in seminary, they say, don't read big passages or your audience will fall asleep. But I said, no, not my audience. My audience is smart and loves the Bible. So we're going to read one of my favorite stories. It's Lazarus being raised from the dead. However, it's 45 verses.
Oh, I haven't read 45 verses in a long time.
You guys can do it, okay? So let's just enjoy the word. My words are really good. I'm not going to lie to you. My words are awesome. But God's words are even better. So here it is. John 11:1-45. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back. Jesus answered, are not the 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After they said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death. So then he just plainly told them, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas said to the rest of his disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Disciples are so funny. All right, so is everybody good? We're at verse 16. Is everyone still with me? So this is Lazarus. Jesus is friends with Lazarus. Mary and Martha, they send word to him. They say, Lazarus is what? No, not dead, sick. They said he's sick. And so he's like, all right, well, I'll wait here 2 more days. And then I guess somehow he realizes, he's like, hey guys, we got to go back and help Lazarus. He's asleep. Disciples don't understand. They're like, Lord, if he's sick, let him sleep, dog. That's good for him. And he's like, guys, he's dead. Okay, I'll just tell you straight up. He's like, I'm done with the metaphors. He's dead. And so then, what does he say? For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may, what? Believe. All right, so they go to Judea. On his arrival, Jesus, are you guys ready? You guys ready to read some more? Okay. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now you will give, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection of the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but he stood at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. He was deeply moved in the spirit. Where have you laid them? He asked. Come and see, the Lord replied. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? John is one of my favorite books of the Bible because John has an extremely strong theme about Jesus' humanity. Extremely strong. He's proving to his readers that Jesus is fully God and he's fully man. And he's laser focused on it, right? And John is full of this. Like in John 2 is when he turns the water into wine, right? And Jesus' mom, they're like, we're out of wine. And Jesus' mom is like, here, Jesus will help you out, right? And what does Jesus say to her? He says, woman, why do you involve me? There's nothing more relatable than your mom embarrassing you in front of all of your friends and making you do something you don't want to do, right? And then in the rest of that chapter, it's Jesus, he's clearing the temple, so he's mad. There are money changers in the temple, and it says he makes a whip. I don't know how he does it, but he sits down and makes a whip. So he's just sitting there angrily, like making his whip, and then he gets angry. Like, what's more relatable than wanting to make a whip at people you're angry at and go yell at them, right? And then here in this passage, it's Jesus is he's entering into Mary and Martha's pain. And Jesus has already said several times, we got to go wake him up. He already said to Martha, he won't remain in the grave, right? He already said that. So now the story goes on. And Mary stays in her house. I don't know why she stays in her house. I like to imagine maybe she's angry. She's frustrated with the Lord, right? He knew, like at the beginning of the passage, that Lazarus was sick. And what does it say? It says he stayed two more days. Well, that could have been two more days of travel. He could have gotten there a little faster. And I don't know exactly what the timeline is, but it's obvious that Jesus knew about Lazarus being sick. And then Mary and Martha are frustrated. If you had been here, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. Right? And it's just such a relatable story. It's like, you have that in your own life. God, if you would just do something, if you could heal me if you wanted to. You could take this cancer out of my body if you wanted to. You could have healed my dad if you wanted to. You could have prevented this from happening. You could have done this. Why? You could heal my body from miscarrying. You could. If you would have just been here, Lord. And we come to the Lord and we, in our frustration, our anger, if you would have just been here, right? And what does Jesus choose to do? He knows, he's well aware of the beginning, middle, and end of the story. He'd already known, but he enters into her and enters into her pain, and he says, it says, Jesus wept. keep going. So verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Let him go. All right, so there's a couple things we can learn. Tay, if you want to come up and... so the Holy Spirit can come. The first thing we can learn is a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. This is going to be just a mini 3-point message about what we can learn about this story. It's a very impactful story. It's a very relatable story. But a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. John 11:14, Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, everyone say your sake. Your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him, right? Oftentimes it's the hardest thing that you've been through is the closest you are to God. When you go through the hardest thing in your life, oftentimes that's the closest we feel to the Lord. It's been true in my life all 29 years. Billy Graham says, mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valleys. I wrote down here, the beginning of doubt is the entrance to faith. A lot of times in our lives, when we go through difficult things and God is there, it's only when we come up to the place of doubt that your faith begins to engage. Right? If there's no doubt, what's the point of faith? What's required? If you're never stepping out, then there's no reason, there's no disappointment, there's no hurt, there's no this, there's no that. And so when doubt comes, that's when faith begins to be engaged. And so a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. Number two, your trials, troubles, and hardships reveal the depth of your faith. If you look at Mary and Martha, Mary, when she reached the place where Jesus saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, right? She's kind of frustrated. She's like, if you had been here, he would have lived. She's kind of pointing the finger at Jesus. Martha had the same interaction, right? She said, Lord, said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will do whatever you ask. Right? So you see, there's a little bit of faith. Martha comes, it's like, if you had been here, like, he wouldn't have died. But now you can, I believe that there's still hope. I believe that there's still a plan for me. And so she says, whatever, God will give you whatever you ask. But then there's a little bit of, you know, this is what I always do. I always rationalize like the sucky things in life. It's like, I know that everything's going to be made right at the end. Yeah, I guess when I die, right? It didn't work out for the disciples very well, right? That's kind of where I go to rationalize. It's like, they all kind of died. Didn't really work out that great for Jesus at one point. He got murdered and it's not great, right? And so, there's this tension, right? Well, yeah, everything's going to be made right in the end, but we believe God for a miracle today. We believe God that he can do the incredible, the supernatural. And then the last thing is there is purpose in your pain. There is purpose in your pain. Glenn Packham has a quote that said, God wastes nothing. It will all be of use in his hands and in his time. And so This morning, I don't know what you have going on in your life. I don't know what you have, what pain is there, what bad days you've had. But the point of this Lazarus story is that Jesus doesn't rescue us from our pain. The good news isn't that Jesus saves us from our pain. The good news is that Jesus saves us from our sins. He saves us from our sins, right? He enters into your pain for what? So that we would believe, so that we would see the glory of God. He doesn't just remove bad feelings. He doesn't just remove the pain. In fact, he is so moved by your pain and your circumstance and what you have going on that he enters into it, right? When Mary was sitting in the house, what did he do? He sent for her. He didn't just be like, well, Mary's just going to sit in there and pout. I know what's going to happen. That's going to be fine. Stop whining, right? That's not what he says. He just sends to her, and then she says, you did this. You should have been here. You could have fixed this. And that's all true, right? Because of her faith, she believed in Jesus. But what does Jesus do? He weeps. He knows the end. He knows what's going to happen. He knows he's about to raise Lazarus. He's been saying it since the first part of the section, but he says, he sits down and he's troubled by what's going on in their hearts, by what they're experiencing, because he is human. And so he is divinely concerned with what you are experiencing this morning. And you may be, God is far away from me. If you would have been there, this wouldn't have happened. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. But you can be encouraged in this. God may not rescue you from your pain, but he enters into it with you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so his promise is not that he's going to deliver us from pain, not that he's going to remove everything, but that he will be with us. And so I don't know all the answers. I don't know why he chooses to heal some people, why miracles happen, why people die, why miracles don't happen. I know that if I don't have Jesus, I can't make it through the day. I know that if I don't have Jesus, I won't survive out there. And so that's why we come to churches. That's why we sit in worship. And that's why we lift our hands, because we confess, God, I don't know what to do, but I know that if I look to you and I invite you, it's all going to be okay. Whether today or at the end, I know it's all going to work out. And so right now, I just ask that you would just close your eyes. We're just going to sit. Prayer team, you guys can come up to the front. If pastors and leaders, if you guys want to come up as well. You may be here and you may have come this morning and you're like Mary, you're like Martha, and you're like, God, if you had been here, if you would have done this, if you would have protected me, if you would have protected my kid, if you would have protected my family, if you would have saved me, if you would have healed me, I know you can. I have faith that you are good enough, that you are loving enough, that you are caring enough, that you are good, that you see what's going on. God, we believe in all the power, all the control, all the authority that you have, God, but we live in a broken world. And so, God, I pray for every person in this room that is struggling. And right now, I just want you to just put your hands in your lap, and I just want you to put them open towards the Lord, and I just want you to let go of all the bad days that you've been having, all the frustrations, all the disappointment, all the bitterness, and I want you to release it to God. And if you're maybe like Mary and Martha, and you're like, if you had been here, that's fine. That's good. Jesus doesn't say, quit whining. So Lord, I pray for every hurt, every bad day, every broken heart. I pray that we wouldn't lean away from you, God, that we would actually lean into you. That we wouldn't hold you at arm's length, but we would see that you actually sit in our pain with us. That you actually are interested in our process, not just in the results. You're interested in what we have happening inside. And so, God, I pray for every person in this room that we would know that. We would know that you're a God who cares. You're a God who's, that even in our worst day, that we would choose to build our life on you, because we have faith that you will sustain us. There's nowhere else that we can go, God. Like Peter prays, God, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so, Lord, I pray for every person in this room, wherever they are in the journey, wherever they are in the midst of their Lazarus dying or being raised to life, God, it's a long journey, but you are with us in it. And so, God, I pray that you'd bless each person in this room, give them hope and peace, and let them know and encourage them that you are with them. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said,